Hi, I'm Case Lowe, co-host of the Open the Voice Gate podcast. The one question I'm constantly asked when it comes to Dragon Gate is how do I get into the promotion? Well, stop asking and start listening to the Open the Voice Gate podcast, released every Wednesday on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. For exclusive news and show reviews, look no further than the leader in Dragon Gate coverage, Open the Voice Gate.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies both on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information. 6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies both on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Hello everybody, welcome to the Super J Cast. I'm Joel, joined by David McDonald. It is Friday the 25th of April 2025. This is episode 359, and we both have some exciting news that neither of us know about. We each have an individual piece of news that we wanted to wait to be on the air to announce. So I have no idea what yours is. You don't know what mine is. Who's going to go first?
That's the surprise. We don't know. Mine's nothing particularly wrestling related.
Neither is mine.
Okay, good. All right, good.
You thought I was going to be like, I'm entering the dojo. A young lion.
Right. My child has been accepted into the dojo apprentice program. He will be starting his training next week. Mine is just wasting money, time, resources to put a smile on my wife's face. That's all mine is. Listen to this fucking, this is crazy. So apparently another dude from that BTS group is doing a tour, right?
Oh God.
Right? I'm just like, can they all just come together? Why? What? I was like, what the fuck is this? I'm looking at her like, kind of like, do you know all this shit? Like in advance, like you knew this was happening, right? Like, don't act like all doe eyed on me. Yeah, I don't know his name. Don't ask me. I have no idea. But it's like member, it's our second favorite member of the band. Okay, whatever that means. So, So the problem is that when he comes, like the closest shot that he does is at the Prudential Center in Newark, which is about an hour 20 minutes drive, right? That would be great if we weren't already in London for Oasis, right? So the timeline, the only date that could possibly work out, Joel, is he's doing two nights in Dallas, Texas. So the plan is, Joel, is we're going to fly to Dallas, go to this show. I'm going to get barbecue. I'm going to get delicious barbecue and Buc-ee's, finally. And we're going to go to the show and then spend the night and then fly back. And then 2 days later, we're going to go up to Citi Field in New York, where the Mets play, see Blackpink, then spend the night there. Because the next night, we drive down to JFK, which is, you know, close, but maybe like a half an hour away of where we will be staying, and then flying to London. That's our schedule.
Oh, you are going to be absolutely cooked by the time you get here.
Swear to God. You really am. I'm going to be more flying, more all the craziness. Just you name it. I'm like, all right, you only live once, I guess, right? I am going to be cooked. It's going to be crazy. It's going to be absolutely a preposterous week. So Dallas, New York, London. That's the plan. That's in a 2 week span. It's gonna be so great. Holy fuck.
Well, good for you. You know, putting your wife first and yes, making sacrifices and spending all that time and money to put a smile on her face.
That's
I
it.
Respect that. That's important.
It is. I agree. And she would. And here's the thing. She's done it for me. You know, she's not footed the bill, but you know, made sure that I got to Japan many times by myself. You know, so yes. So if she would do it for me, I would do it for her. That's the rule. And again, I said, look, I don't care if we eat spaghetti for 2 weeks. You know what I mean? Whatever. You only live once. So let's fucking do it. What is your news? Your news is probably more interesting than mine.
Well, no, it's sort of quite similar, actually. So just like you are going to be spending a lot of time and money and going on some silly journeys to make your wife happy, I also am going to be spending lots of time and money and journeys making myself happy, because I've got myself a ticket to the Champions League semi-final next week, Arsenal versus Paris Saint-Germain.
Fuck yeah! Where is that? Where are they playing?
In London, Emirates Stadium. So I'm going to be, hopefully, I'll have to ask permission, but it should be all right. Leave work a little bit early, get on the train down to London. I have to say thank you to, I think it was Sipsy, formerly of the Smartcast, and my friend Jack. I've been going to Arsenal games with them for 20 years now. They got the ticket sorted out for me, so I'll be meeting them, going for a bit of Xi'an Chinese food, and hopefully seeing Arsenal get something good in the first leg. So it's only the first leg. We'd have to go away to Paris. I think it's the week or 2 weeks after that for the second leg. But so watch that game, then back to London Paddington, getting on the sleeper train at 12:45, which is a 5-hour train, so it gets back into Devon at 5 a.m., drive home, shower, get dressed, straight to work.
Oh.
Can't wait.
Let's fucking go.
Let's do this. I can't wait. The last time we were in a Champions League semi-final at the Emirates Stadium, I went to that one as well. And that was in 2009.
Okay.
And it was against Man United. So I attended the first leg, which was in Manchester. We lost that 1-0. And even like 1-0 is quite a narrow deficit. Like, we thought we could have a chance of turning it around. And it was such a great atmosphere in the stadium. Like, there was the songs playing, and there was a big sort of TIFO banner thing. So everyone had these little sort of coloured plastic squares on their seats, and everyone raised them and waved them around, and it made it like a big TIFO. I can't even remember what it was. And just an absolutely incredible atmosphere. And then United scored after about 3 minutes. It just absolutely destroyed us. Like an absolute lead balloon that went down.
It's and, like your mom walking yeah, and, in and, while you're hooking up with some chick. Your mom
it was
walking.
Terrible. Oh. One of our players just like fell over, and Cristiano Ronaldo, like when he was actually good, when he was in his prime, just absolutely ripped us apart, scored a free kick from 40 yards. Oh. We ended up losing 3-1 on the night, I think, and 4-1 on aggregate. That's the last time we were in a Champions League semi-final. So that's like the biggest domestic fixture you could get. But outside of like, let's say a Premier League match where like you win the Premier League. So those are the two occasions I would go down on a weeknight for. So winning the Premier League, which is obviously not happening. Liverpool are going to wrap that up this weekend. But Champions League semi-final, man, I'm absolutely buzzing. I'm not going to be able to sleep for, for days, I'm sure.
I'm fucking pumped for you, dude. That is awesome. That is incredible. Again, you only live once, man. You know, it's like, somebody told me once, I'd rather have a fun time than chicken in the fridge. Yeah. And that was a long time ago. That person said that. And to this day, it still sticks with me. So yes, great job by you. I know, but like, don't you think like, well, like just thinking of the logistics of what you just said, aren't you like, I'm going to be fucking dead. Like I'm
yeah,
not
so I don't care.
Yeah. Yeah. Just, you know what? Just pound the Red Bulls, dude. You know, do whatever. You'll be fine. Can you sleep sitting up?
Let's find out. I mean, here's the thing. Like, even if I watched the game at home on my laptop, I would probably be too buzzed to go to sleep anyway, even if I was watching it from the comfort of my own bed. So I was just like, what the hell? I'm not going to be sleeping well anyway after that for whatever reason. Either we've lost and I'm gutted, or it's a draw and I'm very anxious about the return leg, or we've won and I'm absolutely beside myself with joy. Either way, there's not going to be much sleep going on, so why not? It was a no-brainer for me. I barely even thought about it. When CFC said, do you want a ticket? I was like, fuck yeah.
Yep. Good. Nice. Excellent. Well, I'll be thinking of you on Tuesday, dude. That's going to be an incredible time. I expect updates throughout the evening.
Can you imagine if Arsenal are European champions?
That'd be fucking
like mad. That and England winning a major trophy. Those are like my two sort of bucket list things that I'm just desperate to see before I die.
How confident are you?
I won't give a shit. Like, if we win the Champions League, whatever happens after that, I won't care, because that will be peak. That is the peak of domestic, of club football, right? It doesn't come bigger than that. So I'm just, I don't know what to say. I'm just,
Wow-wee. I love it. That is fucking incredible. Now, was this something where you were like, hey, you know, do you guys want to go? Or was it just kind of sprung on you, the opportunity, and you were just like,
sprung on me.
Oh, that's
sprung
great.
On me this afternoon. Sipsy had offered it to his brother-in-law, and he said, if he can't go, do you want it? So I looked up the trains, and as soon as I saw there was that overnight train option for like affordable price, it's payday, you know, I've got the money in the bank now, but it wasn't too much. Then I thought, yes, sleeping on a train, yes, let's do it.
Can you, now, is it a sleeper? Like, it has an actual bed?
It is a sleeper train. I don't think I'm in a bed. I think I'm just in a regular seat, because I didn't.
Dude, take some of that fucking Patreon money and upgrade.
The Patreon money needs to go to something else, for some minor fraud. But
what?
Maybe I'll tell you about that off the air.
What happened? Are we going to jail? Is that what you're trying to tell me? What do you mean?
Okay. Well. Okay. I'm going to get myself into trouble.
Okay,
if I
don't
talk
say
about
it.
I'll tell you off the air.
Is it really bad?
It's not really bad.
But it's bad?
I think, but all the Patreon money, as we know, is down to the hard work of my wife, who makes all this possible by looking after the kids,
Okay. Getting
to bed, and just putting all that heavy lifting.
Oh, no.
When I am recording bonus Patreon stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So it's her that's made this all possible.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why that money, for certain tax purposes, are going temporally into her account in order for certain things to happen.
Gotcha.
For now, right? Let's just leave it at that.
All right. That's fine. Enough said. There you go. All right. Take care of what you got to take care of. All right. Whew. Oh, my good Lord. All right.
I was just tugging my collar here.
Me too. I'm like, oh, my Lord. Oh, my. Okay.
But it is legally her money. She's earned it, and it's going into her account
for now. Yep, because, again, she's a contributor to the show, and I get you. All right. Well, if you – I say upgrade, no matter what. Upgrade to get some sleep. Get some sleep. So you can sleep. All right. It looks like jam-packed for us. Jam-packed.
I'll give a little pluggeroo to the Patreon as well, because I did a bit of two bonus audios last week. So I did a mailbag. So often people will write in questions on Twitter or Discord, and I don't get around to them. So I do keep them all. And occasionally, when the mood strikes me, I will do a mailbag episode on Patreon, where I will answer as many of those questions as I can in a comfortable sitting. So if you asked a question recently, then it was probably answered on that mailbag episode. And I also did an Arsenal episode with my friend Nicky, who went to both. No, he didn't go to both things. I'm not talking about. Went to the first leg of the Real Madrid game, and just chatted to him for about over an hour, actually, about Arsenal this season and his experiences at the game and his predictions for the upcoming matches. So if you are into sports or football or Arsenal specifically, that's, I think, a really good listen. It's high-level stuff, you know. We're two smart people, analytical minds, and I think it's worth listening to and an enjoyable thing, even if you're not particularly into football. I think there's some something that can be gleaned from that either way. So,
will it go over my head?
No, I don't think it will. I don't know, maybe. Give it a try.
Well, come on, I'm dumb. I'm a rock.
If it does and it's not enjoyable, just don't tell me. I don't want to know.
No. I'm sure I'll enjoy it, but I just won't necessarily get all the fucking things. You know what I mean? Like, I might not.
Yeah, I try to sort of explain, to put stuff into context for people who might be listening who are not following everything closely or who may not even follow football at all.
All right, I'll listen. I'll listen. All right, now, being that you said that, can I do a Leafs one? Being that they're up 3-0, baby. They're going to fucking sweep Ottawa and move on to the next round. How about
Jameson
that?
Because Jameson asked Damon how he would feel when the mighty Senators beat the Maple Leafs in round one.
Yeah, well, you can go suck it, because guess what? We're up 3-0. We had two big overtime wins, an overtime win last night. And not for nothing, I feel like we're playing really well. Like, we feel like a different team, Joel. We feel...
This is it, David. It's going to happen this year. This is the year where Arsenal and the Maple Leafs
holy shit
bring home the glory.
Let's go.
And then both of us will just ascend into a higher plane of existence.
We really would. I mean, seriously, we would just be like, all right, it's not going to get any better than this, is it? No, it's probably not. All right, you want a beer? Yep. All right, here's the gun.
Yeah, I was thinking that, and I was going to say something. I thought, no, that's too dark. So I'm glad you went there first, because I was thinking the exact same thing. Yep, it's like, there's no point continuing. Let's definitely kill ourselves.
Right. What more could happen? You know what I mean? Like it's not like fucking Riley Reid's knocking on my door anytime soon. And then, you know, it's dead. We're good. I feel like I've accomplished everything I needed to accomplish. What's the point?
Well, you say that, Damon, but something even greater could happen. What if Dwayne Johnson... No, we'll come to that. We'll come to that.
All right.
I'm just playing. I'm messing. But yeah, Maple Leafs, we're feeling good.
We are feeling good. Again, we'll get past this first round. Again, we're notorious for not even getting past the first round, Joel. Again, we haven't won anything yet. And this is a team that, in its history, can fuck things up very quickly. But we're up 3-0. We just got to win one more game. We move on to the next round. And then obviously, it gets harder from there, because you're playing a stiffer competition. But, you got to take the first step. And it looks like we're on our way. So let's go. We're doing it. Things are looking up for us, dude. I'll tell you what. I can't wait for the bombshell bad news to come in about a week. Something terrible is going to happen. It's just the way.
No, nothing. No negativity here. We are riding the good vibes.
I love it.
On the Super J cast. Nothing can spoil the mood. Right. So the death of Hisashi Shinma, Damon. Can you contextualize that for us? And
He's a guy that...
That didn't even get a laugh. No, there's
what?
There's supposed to be like a jarring juxtaposition between all the good vibes and then me talking about someone dying.
Well, trust me, I'm so used to it, because I have a pocket of friends that the only communication that I have is people texting me that somebody passed away. Again, not that we know them; we just know the name. Never met them. That's all they do. It's like, what? Why is this where our relationship is? And I got that text, and I was like, oh, that's a shame. But, you know, he's probably 127 years old. But how I know him is, and the first time I actually saw the name was when I was a wee lad, a youngster. He was the figurehead president of the Worldwide Wrestling Federation. And this is like Backlund era, by the way, you know. And his name was in the program, and I was like, well, that's why would they have like why would the president be all the way over there and that's the governing body in Japan? Like, I was like, that's weird. I was like, why would that be? And I'm 8, you know, or 7 probably thinking these things. But that's how I know him. Like I don't know him from any other thing, except that. So, and I'm sure he was involved with New Japan in management capacity. But like, I couldn't pick him out of a police lineup. But B, he's probably one of the first names that I saw that I was like, oh, well, who the fuck is that? And why is he the president of the WWF at the time? And Joel is gone.
Joel's like, no, I'm still here. Well, I don't. Yeah.
I thought that long pause was, oh, and he's gone. I mean, do you have a Wikipedia page or something on him? Like, give me the rundown on his history and what he is famous for in the world of pro wrestling.
Okay. He is a Japanese booker and promoter.
Right.
Noted for having, as you said, been an on-screen authority at the World Wrestling Federation from 1978 to 1984. Mm-hmm. Billed as president of the promotion. I never knew that. That's mad. Right. Succeeded by Jack Tunney. So he was Jack Tunney's predecessor.
Correct.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
So he was the chairman and one of the bookers for New Japan at the time, negotiated a talent sharing arrangement with the World Wrestling Federation. Oh, this is very topical, isn't it, Damon?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
With the junior heavyweight division, which ultimately launched Tatsumi Fujinami. Correct. As an international superstar and eventual successor to Antonio Inoki. His most famous moment as WWF president occurred on December 6, 1979, after Bob Backlund regained the WWF title from Antonio Inoki at the end of his Japan tour. Shinma overruled the decision due to interference from Tiger Jeet Singh.
Hmm.
So, yeah, there's some more stuff here. But, yeah, this is quite interesting stuff. I wish I'd bothered to read it before we started recording. But I was just hoping to just say the name and you would rattle off an informed and insightful and poignant obituary to him.
Well, 2 out of 3 ain't bad.
So he fitted Satoru Sayama with a Tiger Mask gimmick. He discovered Akira Maeda.
There you go.
He advocated the concept of the IWGP in New Japan.
Oh, wow.
And formed the UWF in Japan after leaving New Japan.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I mean, this guy, you know, I sold him very short, actually. I probably knew all that, but it just escaped all of my brain cells. Yeah, that's a resume. But yeah, that's how I knew him. I like, he was in a program, like the actual program that you would buy at the arena to see the lineup, because you didn't know what the fuck the entire lineup was. But actually, back then, you really kind of did know most of the matches, really. But then, yeah, that whole Backlund Phantom title change thing was really weird, because he... So Backlund loses to Inoki, right? And then at the end of the tour, Backlund's supposed to win it back. But I want to say before the tour or after the tour or something like that, it wouldn't make any sense for Backlund to hold the belt. So when he came, he was at Madison Square Garden, he came out, I think it was against Greg Valentine, and he came out without the belt. Like, he didn't wear the belt. He just came out. And to kind of explain the fact that, you know, well, they never really explained that Inoki beat it, because nobody knew who the fuck Antonio Inoki would be anyway.
Yeah, not officially acknowledged by WWE and kept hidden from American audiences.
Correct.
Until Pro Wrestling Illustrated recognized Inoki's reign in the late 90s.
Correct. So they switched it back. And like I said, when Backlund came out for that one match at the Garden, he didn't have his title. And to kind of somewhat explain to, because there were always Japanese press at those 80s Madison Square Garden shows. Like, they were must see for a lot of people, right? So the photographers would be at ringside, and again, they tried to make it as to, you know, explain that title change, but they never acknowledged it. Like, it was never acknowledged, you know, on WWF TV. But yeah, there you go. Yeah, the UWF stuff I should have remembered too. Ah, fuck, and the Tiger Mask stuff too. Yeah, he was involved in that. And, you know, Tiger Mask at Madison Square Garden, obviously the famous Dynamite Kid match, but then he also wrestled like Jose Estrada or some shit. And actually, you know, the night that, you know, the whole John Stossel 2020 David Schultz, oh, you think this is fake? He slaps the reporter. You know that story?
Vaguely.
Okay, so 2020, it's like a kind of like a big news type show in the States back in the day, right? So it's kind of like, you know, I guess, I don't even know what the equivalent would be in the UK, but it's like a newsy show. And John Stossel was exposing pro wrestling, right? And this was like at the time when Hogan was just starting at WWF, you know, the whole Hulkamania thing. And David Schultz, he interviewed David Schultz, and he's like, I think this is all fake. And David Schultz, being the lunatic that he is, decides he's going to haul off and just whack him right across the head.
So similar to the Hogan Richard Belzer thing.
Very similar. Yep, very similar. But maybe even a little bit, well, I don't know. It depends on what – do you prefer being choked out or slapped?
You know? Am I wrong for finding that thing extremely funny? I'm just thinking about it now. I'm just giggling. I don't know why that really tickled me.
But it was like so serious. Like Barbara Walters, you know, is like, oh, my God, you were attacked. And so he gets – he whacked. Boom. He goes down. Anywho, so later that night, though, Schultz wrestled on that Madison Square Garden show, and he wrestled – Antonio Inoki, as a matter of fact, just FYI. So just that's how I'm trying to wrap this all up. That's my segue into New Japan Pro Wrestling talk. Pretty good, right?
I just want to know what was Hulk thinking when he's got Richard Belzer in the chokehold, feels him go completely limp,
right,
and thinks,
drops him.
Yeah, I'll just let him go on the concrete. Right. He'll be fine.
Yeah. And the thing is that I remember that it was he gets up. You know, they kind of – he comes to and he gets up and he's like – he's bleeding at the back of his head.
Yeah, his blood is all over the floor. Right.
Right. Unbelievable. What a time to be alive. Yeah, that was crazy. Yeah, they were going to – that was a problem because, again, that was – the reason why they were there was the hype, the first WrestleMania. And that happened and they were going to shut it down. Like they were going to be like – he was going to go to fucking jail. And Vince once again found a way to get out of it. And save Hogan's ass. I don't know if he had to pay a fine or I don't know, whatever the fuck. But yeah, around that time, man, you know the story with...
The Stossel out-of-court settlement was like $500,000 or something, wasn't
it?
It's pretty vast. He said he was protecting the business on Vince McMahon's word.
Right.
But then it didn't matter, he got fired and basically blackballed after that.
Right. Well, honestly, he really was a loose cannon and... There's like stuff of him in, I want to say it was Memphis. And he's just like, honestly, think of the worst thing you can put on a fucking t-shirt. He's wearing it, right? Like, I mean, again, the worst things you can think of. And he's wearing it. And you're just like, what the fuck is this guy? Like, okay, we get it. You're a redneck, but do you have to really be a redneck, dude? Yeah, he had a screw loose or something. I don't know. Cause he was just out there, David Schultz. And it's funny. The funny thing about that too is also if you look in the background, you see Mr. Fuji just giggling. Oh, Mr. Fuji, you dope. He was a pest. Like that was a word on the street about him. Like he was just like he loved the practical jokes to the extreme. Like he's the guy.
I'm watching it now.
What?
I'm watching the clip now. It's
oh, yeah?
So good.
You see him? Do you see Fooge?
Yeah.
There you go.
Yes, I do.
It's like Evil in that picture you showed me.
Yes, Evil backstage. WWE next to Shinsuke Nakamura.
Yeah.
It's excellent.
All right.
Exciting times. What a world we're living in, Damon. And that's a great segue to talking about The Rock. Now, Reddit thinks they've got it all figured out. They're saying... that we said that The Rock is wrestling Tanahashi at WrestleKingdom.
I never said that.
Are you sure about that? Are you sure about that? That's why. I never said that. I never even replied that. Yet again, Reddit adding two and two and making five. Now, of course, we've got the added context here of WWE buying Triple A, which is going to be, you know, sending shockwaves through the lucha scene in Mexico. Kevin Kelly thinks New Japan could be next. So everyone's looking at this Rock Rubik's Cube thing and wondering what it all means. They think that we know. They think we're saying Rock versus Tanahashi. Rock didn't even show up to WrestleMania. big leaguing the main event angle that he was a key part of. Doesn't even bother turning up to the show. So the Rock is a very capricious individual. So even if there were talks about something happening, that plan could change a million times between now and January 4th. So people are not picking up what we're laying down, David. They've not cracked the code yet, have they?
It's a little complicated, isn't it?
let's put it like this. So we go with the analogy of Mally doing her big air guitar concert at the Tokyo Dome because she's very successful. And let's just say she's at the Tokyo Dome.
Okay.
And she's thirsty and she flags down one of the ladies that's selling lemon sours, right?
Mm.
Not highballs, lemon sour she's buying.
Okay.
So Mally is buying a lemon sour at the Tokyo Dome and then get some chicken karaage to have together with the lemon sour at the Tokyo Dome on January 4th. And I will say no more than that.
Oh, look at you.
Dropping the microphone.
Look at you dropping the mic. Now, I'll add just one extra layer, if you don't mind.
Mike CC in the chat saying, Rock Big League Mania, but will work World Tag League. That's what I want to see. I want to see The Rock doing all those preview, like Road to Tokyo Dome, working 8-man tag matches to build up the show.
So great.
Getting the hot tag from Honma.
Right. Tenzan, the Brahma Bulls, if you will.
Did like breathless backstage interviews, like, I tried my best today, but, you know, just didn't quite have what it takes.
Yeah, that'd be great. Come on. I'm going to add an extra layer to your lemon sour analogy. That, again, I think it's pretty easy, and I think we're pretty much spelling it out.
Too obvious, if anything.
I think so, but like, okay.
We're going to get into trouble for this.
Right. Will Mally be, again, with the air guitar, will she be wearing socks?
That's too obvious.
All right.
We might have to edit that bit out.
Well, I think we could get away with that one. I think the socks, I don't know. Leave socks in. I'm just going to ask if she's going to. I just want to see if she's going to wear socks because that's going to be important.
I'm sweating here, Dan. I'm going to have to run that by our people to see if
our lawyers, socks our crack staff of the law firm of
Craich. They're going to be busy after this episode.
The law firm of Craich and Lanza. All right. So, can I ask you a question? I know that.
Okay. I wanted to ask you, I don't know if you're going to segue into something else, but I wanted to explore what Kevin said about WWE potentially buying New Japan.
Okay. Well, it was funny because my phone decided, you know, well, not my phone. They didn't decide. Got lots of texts, lots of even phone calls. Imagine that. Imagine that. If you think I'm answering the phone, you're out of your mind. Like, that is not happening. I don't answer the phone for people that I like. That's not to say I don't like, but I'm just saying, you know.
Because our good friend Josh at Keeping It Strong Style was absolutely shook by this. He is convinced that it's happening, that WWE by New Japan. I think that's what he said anyway.
I mean, he was one of the many that did reach out. And I, like, at the time, I think everybody was whipped into a little bit of a frenzy because, you know, no, I don't think anybody really expected the idea. Well, here's the thing. One, for a year, how many years has it been where it's always been WWE's buying, you know, Stardom, WWE's buying Noah, WWE's buying this, and you always kind of somewhat are skeptical and somewhat hand wave and blah, blah, blah. But then they pop out and, okay, here we go. And I think the thing that is most important is the infrastructure, right? It's the idea that WWE has run shows in Mexico before, but they're not like a full-time promotion in Mexico. And, you know, I don't think that they have they're not in it for the marathon. So they found an easy way to kind of get a foothold there. Now you add on an extra layer of the TNA stuff, and then everybody, you know, is kind of sweating a little bit. I know that in the past, there has definitely been discussions, but I feel like they're more kicking tire discussions. You know what I mean? Like, it's more of, hey, if you're selling, we, you know, let me know. We might be interested. All right, well, we're not selling, but okay. Now, that being said, if somebody writes a check big enough, that's going to be something that they're going to look at. And they would be stupid not to. That being said, I wasn't worried then. I'm not worried now. And
not worried forever.
Not worried forever. I would just be, let's put it this way. Not only have we not heard anything about this from anyone that would be someone that I would say, okay, well, now it's time the antenna is up. I mean, I don't think we've got a firm denial, but I don't think it's necessary. You know what I mean? It's like, it's just not a thing right now. Now watch them.
Also, it would be highly illegal for The Rock to be hinting at a possible major business acquisition by dropping cheeky little hints on social media. Yeah. Unless if you zoom in on the Rubik's Cube, well, there's a little mark in the middle of the Rubik's Cube. And if you read that carefully, that is actually the contract details for the buyout, for the acquisition. So
that's right.
There you go. You got to pay attention to these things.
Yep. Yeah. You got to keep your finger on the pulse, everyone. Now, that being said,
Will, a lot of things being said today.
I know. Will Dwayne The Rock, Mr. Manna himself, Mr. Goosebumps, will he be wrestling Hiroshi Tanahashi? That's the question, Joel, that I think is on the tips of – that's what people are excited for, right? That's what people are looking forward to. I'll say right now that – where maybe last week we were kind of tongue-in-cheeky with it. This week, I think that might... I don't... It feels like that's not going to happen. I feel like we were kind of... went down a road that... I don't know. What do you think?
I think the lemon sour and chicken carrot agave references speak for themselves. I'm saying no more about the matter.
That's true. Okay. All right. Good. We'll leave it at that then. I didn't want to mess up a bit. Sorry. Sorry. All right. Where do you want to go next?
Let's go to Corcoran Hall, if we may.
All right.
So there was a show there. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to find the details of it. And I can't find it.
Maybe it didn't happen.
Well, okay, I can't find it on the results page, but we know it happened, and it was notable because it was Jeff Cobb's last match as a New Japan pro wrestler.
Yep.
And in the middle of the card, he had a singles match with Tanahashi, which was really good. Good effort, and notable for Tanahashi doing a standing moonsault and landing on his head. So, all part of the plan. Thanks, Mr. President. And Jeff Cobb getting really emotional before the match, after match. Like, you can tell that it's not a decision he's made lightly. And it means a lot to him, the company, the fans. And that got to me a bit. I mean, you know, you can't fake that stuff. And it's hard not to be affected by it when you can see someone sort of grappling with the enormity of the decision that they've made. And a lot of, not regret, like he's made the wrong decision, but just feeling that sense of loss. And he's a guy who has, I think, given a lot to the company over the last 7 years, and people might hand wave his contributions, but I think he's brought a lot of value to the company, and I think most other New Japan fans wish him all the best.
Yeah. He's like a guy that you worked with for many years, and he is trying to do better for him and his family, and, you know, he moves on, and he gets a great job, and it's more money, but he's going to miss, like, there's a part of his life, like, you know, creative freedom and the idea of just being in that locker room and in that environment for that many years, and you develop relationships and friendships, and some of them probably are pretty close. And yeah, he's got to turn his back on that, and because he's going to, you know, do what his original plan was, and all pro wrestlers are, is let's make the most money we can while we're still able to do this crazy thing we call pro wrestling. So once again, never blame the wrestler, but yeah, he's going to be emotional, and yeah, he's going to be upset because, you know, even though he's moving on to financial greener pastures, his life, truth be told, got a lot more regimented. His life got a little lot more structured. His life got a lot more, you know, he's working for a big boy company. You know, he's, make no mistake about it. It is a pro wrestling company, but it is the most corporate pro wrestling company there is. And, you know, that might be a combination of, I'm going to miss all this stuff, I'm going to miss all these people, and maybe even a little bit of anxiousness and anxiety of, okay, you know, this is what I've worked so hard for, and now that it's here, oh boy, this seems a little bit daunting. So, yeah, I don't think there's a New Japan fan that hand waves him saying goodbye. I think everybody appreciates, and I said it last week. I said he was a valuable piece of the New Japan puzzle for many years, a guy you could rely on, and again, performed better with certain opponents, but. You know, you can say that to about a lot of guys. And I think...
And Mike CC says, worth noting how much Jeff improved as a wrestler between his first G1 in 2018 to
now. Yeah.
Like, leaps and bounds.
Yeah, absolutely. No doubt. And the cool thing about it is that you saw that progression. If you followed the product, you got to see that. So, again, I don't think anybody's... And once again, I also think that for Jeff and for New Japan, it was the best thing for both. All good things must come to an end, and here is a perfect example of that, and we wish them the best.
Change is good, roster turnover is good, and yeah, we're most people, sad to see him go.
Yeah.
Now, there was one or two people who were not so sad to see him go.
Oh no.
A lot of ugly scenes on social media with posts from TJP, specifically TJP's wife.
And what?
Honestly, it would be like a very tawdry podcast to, you know, get in the muck and start reading out the stuff that they put. So are you ready for it, Damon?
No, not really.
Because I'm going to read them out anyway. So
all right.
Rubbing my hands again. I've been looking forward to this all week. You're not going to ruin my fun.
Go ahead.
Here we go. Started off with Jeff Cobb posting a tweet, basically, well, I'll read it to you. When Will Ospreay left, everyone thought we were dead in the water, but we pushed forward. Now I'm leaving, and I know the Empire is in good hands with Greta Khan, Prince of Pace leading the way, Francesca Acura getting ready to set fire to the junior division, blah, 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 blah. So basically just put a load of stuff thanking everyone in the faction,
okay,
apart from TJP. So he was the only person not mentioned in that tweet.
Specifically, okay.
Yeah, specifically. And I'm trying to find the original tweet from TJP, but trying to find things that TJP has tweeted is difficult because there's quite a high volume of them. But Aria Perkins says, do you realize the entire group is thrilled you're on the way out? You're a miserable human being. Nobody wants you there. There's a whole group chat talking shit on your big bitch ass, you fucking pussy cunt.
What?
Yeah. The one-sided passive aggressiveness you've given TJ the last year has been so fucking weird when you're completely not that way when he's in front of you. Good luck in the Fed. And then a follow-up. Fucking kill yourself with roids, you big fat fuck.
What?
In a minute since I've seen a limp body in a ring.
What?
You're a pouty little bitch all the time and approaching 50. You're a dad. How is this not embarrassing, you greasy-haired fuck? This is a shoot. Nobody likes the cunt little bitch boy attitude Jeff Cobb feels the need to have. Maybe it's the Psalms. Do you think the Fed will let you keep buying Psalms from the other guy in the locker room?
Oh my God.
Bruce Pritchard and Jeff had a meeting, and dumbfuck Jeff forgot already meeting Bruce in MOW and hit him with a nice to meet you, and Bruce corrected him.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Tompounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies both on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information. 6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Tompounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies both on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
What the fuck? Holy balls.
So I responded. Well, not responded directly. I tweeted out, you know, the only correct take on this situation, which was, damn, this United Empire Civil War storyline is getting spicy. Can't wait for the payoff. Kikuchi, you've done it again.
Very good. All right.
Get a reply from the man himself.
Oh!
TJP in the mentions. Straighten me out on this. So I was mistaken. Not a storyline. He said, if only it was meant to be a storyline. It never was. A leader was assigned. After three others turned it down, then that was meant to be the end of it. One of the first three that turned it down decided to try and row the boat in a different direction for an entire year. And there is an entire like Reddit thread from SSJ5 Goji Tanks about just sort of compiling all these posts that TJP has made on Reddit outlining this whole situation. So TJP, and again, this is not fact check. This is what TJP is claiming, that he says he was made the leader after the other members turned down the role of leader, including Jeff Cobb.
Oh,
O'Connor was the obvious choice, but he didn't feel up to it. TJP tried to talk O'Connor into it, but yeah, he didn't fancy it. All the other members declined. And not only did Jeff Cobb decline, again, this is TJP's claim, I'm not saying this is all true, but he says Cobb specifically said he didn't even want to be in United Empire at all. Head of booking sat down with all the Empire members, explained that TJP was being put in this position and why. O'Connor came up with a captain title. So, again, there's a whole lot of stuff here. Apparently, Jeff Cobb just not happy with it, not on board with it. And TJP complaining that lack of cooperation, cohesion has cost them merch money, has cost them bookings. He's saying he lost tours as a result of Cobb. He said Cobb was the only member of United Empire and guaranteed money contract. And again, I've heard stuff that contradicts that. But he's saying Cobb started getting into little locker room spats or criticism with other members when TJP wasn't there. Management getting involved, trying to have sit down sort of peace negotiations with them. TJP offered a storyline to Cobb where Cobb went rogue. Office didn't want to do it. And the money TJP was making got cut in half and was no longer a livable wage for his family because of that. And being told his heavyweight trajectory, he chose to turn down the next contract offering in favor of having more freedom to make money. So again, this is all TJP's claim. So I'm not saying this is all correct, but it is extremely funny.
Holy moly. Okay. All right. Well, first,
And when I say funny, I'm not saying him failing to make a livable wage for his family. That part's not funny. But seeing wrestlers take pot shots at each other on social media, that's the funny part. And I like that. And they should do it more because it's good.
Yeah. One, I think the first question I have is, who knew being the leader of a faction was so coveted in the New Japan Pro Wrestling locker room? Like, is there a bonus structure there? Did they get did they get compensated extra for being this leader? What is the hard on for being the head of a faction? That I can't answer. I don't know. Two.
The only people who talk about being leaders of factions are fucking losers. Can we just make that clear?
It feels to me the equivalent of, oh, well, I'm a champion. I have a title. Like, if anybody even remotely was like that in a locker room, and again, it's not like I've been in a million locker rooms, but I've been in a handful at least, you would just get looked at like you're insane. Like, what? Who? What are you talking about? Champion? What? I don't know.
So you're saying you don't think there was a leadership stipend for TJP after taking on the role as captain of United Empire?
I have not heard of anything of the sort. Now, you might think that you are elevated in people's mind and that will help you get more bookings. I mean, possibly, maybe, but I don't think the idea of, hey guys, there's a show at the 2300 Arena and the leader of the United Empire is going to be in town. Let's buy a ticket, right? They seem silly to me. But okay, let's just go ahead with that. The second thing is, why do people feel the need to air that type of dirty laundry on Twitter? Like, that just seems just batshit crazy to me. And again, I understand the idea that you believe that this is impacting your bottom line. And again, maybe residually it's a possibility, sure, if you fucking, okay, the big picture, all the, okay. But my God, I'm going to be honest, I'm embarrassed a little bit. I'm you're reading off these tweets and I'm cringing. Oh my God. Put down the phone. Holy shit. There's been a lot of that lately. There's been a lot of crazy tweets. I feel like alcohol.
So, no, was there a point where TJP saw those tweets? That is why. So his wife's on the sofa next to him or on the side of the room tweeting away. It's like, what are you up to there? And then he's getting a load of notifications. He's like, darling, I know you're trying to help, but is this a good idea?
Right.
I'm trying to wrestle the phone out of her hand. Stop tweeting.
And now I will say this. She's sticking up. And she's
yeah. Fine. I respect the loyalty.
Yes.
She's got his back, and that's great.
Yes,
so that big thumbs up for that.
Yes,
I'm looking forward to Mally going on an expletive-laden social media rant against WeWork Stiff.
Right. We're coming for you, Kiss Boys. We got our wives ready to tweet. That's just okay. And again, I appreciate that, and she's passionate, and she's just firing off the fucking tweets. That's just, come on. You're an adult. Stop. This is an adult doing a podcast about your product that feels the cringe. Unbelievable. Are those tweets still live and available for people to peruse?
I think she deleted most of them, to be fair. Right. But I've got the screenshot, so I think I have an important role as a journalist for posterity to make sure that there is an oral record of these. So the true story, the history of New Japan Pro Wrestling can be told in its entirety.
Yep, that'll be page 75 of the new Chris Charlton Lion's Eye. Those screenshots will be.
I'm imagining Chris Charlton translating them into Japanese in front of the Korakuen crowd.
What is Japanese for cunt? I mean, look, I'm hoping that there were, you know, there were a couple, maybe a couple glasses of wine, maybe a couple pops, whatever, you know, and you kind of get a little loosey goosey and you're firing off the tweets, but that's not a good look. It's really not.
It's a very good look. Do it more.
Really?
If you're listening, TJ, if you're listening, tell her to more. Do it more because it's good. Yeah. You got to stand up for yourself and don't let anyone disrespect you.
Well, I will agree with that. Like, but I think there's
I'd do it in a very public forum. Just
make sure,
as well.
Just make sure everyone can see it.
Ideally in my mentions as well, so I don't miss anything.
Yes, please. Please.
Just at me as well, so I can.
You know what? You know what?
Easy record.
Invite him over the house. He could do it from the living room. He could do it from your Wi-Fi, just to make sure it goes through. I don't know. That's crazy, man. And again, I don't understand the idea of like faction leaders are a big thing, huh? All right. Okay. All right. I mean, that explains Chase Owens sticking around, right? He's the leader of the bull club at this point, right? Jesus. He's cashing in. That's crazy. Yeah. I don't know. A lot of wacky tweets this week. A lot of wacky tweets.
Swiper on Twitter has reached the correct conclusion here. Is it all but confirmed that The Rock will be in United Empire? So,
well, there it is.
He's cracked the code.
Yeah, the Sox. Yeah, did it. I know it.
The socks. Right. This Korakuen show was also notable for what could potentially be Tetsuya Naito and Bushi's last match as New Japan pro wrestlers in Korakuen Hall. And it was rubbish. He couldn't even do his tornado DDT properly. Fraser was on Keeping It Strong style and he said like he was there and he could see Naito like literally like squinting to try and see where the ropes were. And yeah, even the sort of the Hiromu assisted tornado DDT couldn't even do that. So yeah, there was that, and I was watching that and thinking like, oh god, like I can kind of put up with that stuff when I know there's a finish line in sight, as is the case with Tanahashi. But it's hard to sort of reconcile Naito saying or allegedly saying he doesn't want to be shifted into a dad role and he still wants to be a main eventer or whatever. And then watching that, where he can't perform any of his signature wrestling moves anymore. And yeah, those two things are quite jarring in my mind. And he didn't seem that emotional. I mean, the crowd were into him, as they always were. So that's definitely a loss. I mean, I can see it from the fans' perspective. But I'm still sort of on the mindset that it's probably a good thing, you know? Roster turnover is good and I really don't think Naito has anything of value to offer New Japan from an in-ring standpoint anymore that other members of the roster can offer many, many more times over. And what I thought was more interesting than anything that Naito did or said on that show was what other people were saying. Backstage comments from Honma and Nagata, like very thinly veiled criticism, particularly the Honma one where he was basically saying, like, I am happy to come in here, even when I'm barely booked and I never win any matches, but I'm just still proud to represent New Japan and turn up and do it for the fans. And, you know, that's an honor for me. I don't see there's any shame in the role that I'm playing. And Nagata saying, you know, people, guys coming in, they've got their own agendas and that's fine. But at the end of the day, New Japan is still going to be here. The fans are still going to be here. And This is who we do it for. And I felt if you go and watch them yourself, listener, like I can really sense there was some sharp edges to those words there. And a fantastic promo from Taichi as well, where he's like really earnest, heartfelt, saying basically, give me a chance. Like, okay, fine. This guy's going, he's got his own things to do. Like he's got his own motivations, but let me pick up this ball and run with it. I can do it. I can fill this gap to the best of my ability. Why, we love them, but why like Yuji Nagata? Why is Callum Newman? Why are they good enough, but I'm not? Please give me a chance. Let me have a chance. Let me have a crack at the IWGP gold. And just, you could see it in his eyes that he was almost sort of in tears with just how emotional he was and how much he meant it. It just seemed like really, really sincere that a lot of people are looking at these guys like Cobb and Naito and Bushi leaving and sensing it as, whilst there's disappointment and sadness in one aspect, it's also a chance for others to prove themselves, not just the young guys, but the older guys who have been overlooked as well. And it was just really interesting hearing all those different voices backstage and what other people were taken out of this Naito situation.
That's the one thing, you know, it's like those spots at the top, they don't come often. And when they do, they're usually cherry picked. You know, they've had that person in mind for a long, long time. And when things like this occur, then, you know, there's a job opening and there's a position to be filled. And I get the idea of people trying to position themselves of, hey, you know, give me the spotlight, give me the ball. Naito, it does make you question, and I think this is a lot, you can name a lot of pro wrestlers, where they think that they still have what it takes, and physically they just don't, and mentally they're sharp, but the body's just doesn't respond well to what they want to do. And that's a hard and bitter swill to swallow for any athlete when that time comes. I think he's a little bit delusional if he thinks he can compete at a high level. Now, could he take time off and rest and heal and surgeries and all that he needs desperately and come back and be at that level? I'm not going to
come back with a laser eye like Kano from Mortal Kombat. It's going to be sick.
That'd be rad. I'm not saying no, because stranger things have happened. People have come back from worse. But right now he's delusional. I hate to say it. He's delusional. Does he still have a value to the company? Abso-fucking-lutely. But like,
yeah. And I think that's what Honma was saying. Like, you know, you think you're too good to be playing a bit part role in this company. Like, get real. And yeah, there was something quite.
But when you're at the top, Joel, like imagine you being at the top of your school or being at the top of your company or being at the top of whatever. And being told that, oh, you're not that guy anymore. And you're like, well, what the fuck? I've been here whatever years, and I know I can – I still have – and they're like, well, looking at this and this, and this is where you're falling off, and we've kind of told you that this is – you know, they don't want to hear it. And I understand that because pride gets the fuck in the way. I can go back in my life and think of just things a lot that would fall into those categories where, yeah, I'm swimming upstream because I feel like I'm being disrespected or something. But if I'm looking at it objectively, he's not the same guy. Do you want to hear a fun conspiracy theory?
I've got a conspiracy theory as well.
All right.
Yeah, you give yours first.
Now, this is not mine. I cannot take credit for this, but in conversations with someone, the idea was floated to me that, you know, name me the guy who complained, one of the guys who's complained the loudest of guys jumping ship to AEW and jumping ship to WWF. Or WWE, and I'm sticking around New Japan. What's a guy that might have initials of TN? Might fall into that category. So you know, he's been very vocal about that, right? And what was floated was the idea that, you know, maybe there is something to these WWE rumors, right? And he didn't want any part of it. And he was like, if this is going to be our future, I am walking out the door. Do you think there's any substance to that, Joel?
Well, do you think Tetsuya Naito has been on the phone with one Dwayne The Rock Johnson?
Do you think he wears socks at night?
Big Boss B Hutch on Twitter saying, why didn't Naito help Travis Scott? Now we're asking the right questions.
Now we're asking
the right questions. Okay. Do I think... Excuse me. I should have muted that, shouldn't I? But I didn't. There you go. I sneezed. No, I don't. I don't think there's.
Nothing.
No, okay. I don't think that's that. I don't believe that. My conspiracy theory was that New Japan. This is a case of constructive dismissal, and New Japan knew that Naito was going to walk out if they downcycled him, and they did it on purpose.
To do what?
Because they wanted him to leave.
Oh, they wanted him out. Why would they want him out?
Yeah, because he's too expensive.
Okay. And why would they be cutting contracts and cutting books and not signing people to contracts? Because a company that you know, that's looking to sell, usually they try to get as much debt off the books, Rachel.
That is what Josh said on Keeping It Strong, Sal, so maybe he knows something that we don't.
Well, that's what I said. That's what I texted him. Let's be very clear. I feel like I said that. I feel like that was wrong. I guess the question is this. Who's wearing the socks here? Who's wearing the socks?
Just going to let that one hang there. That's for you, listener, to go and think about.
That's for you to think about, listener.
Who is wearing the socks?
Who's wearing the socks?
I'll tell you something else that was funny was the Shota Umino Shingo Takagi interactions, also on social media. Did you see any of those?
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
There was mentions of a terrible thing that happened in Dragon Gate. A little not quite a direct shot, but like a little jab there, little witch hazel jab shot.
And he deleted it as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. You also got a fucking chair full of or a mouthful of chair.
He did. Yeah, he did. He got absolutely waffled by the chair. So sure, yeah, Shota tweeted, I love that you're so interested in me and took screenshots, even though I'm not following you, digging up such old topics. Takagi-san used to be, no, I'll stop here, and then posted a little emoji of a monkey.
Yeah.
And if you know, you know. And Shingo did not take too kindly to that.
No, he did not.
Absolutely brained him with a chair on the most recent show.
Yep. He, I believe, sent a message with a couple of those chair shots of, keep tweeting, fuckface. Keep tweeting.
Kikuchi, man, he's still got it.
he still does. Yeah, I mean, look, once again, here's another example of something that I've been a big fan of. Stop tweeting pro wrestlers. I know, Joel, you love it, but you gain nothing. Just stop tweeting. Stop tweeting, because all that you do is make your life worse. That's all you do. You don't make it any better. Look me in the eye.
A reply from Shingo. I'm the one who asked you to play, but I'm starting to feel like it's a waste to even get involved. I'm sorry to the fans, but I have no desire to have a good match with him. Yes, just do it. If someone like that becomes the top, I think New Japan will be in serious trouble. So I'll do my best to stop him. Right now, I have zero motivation.
Fucking Twitter. I mean, what a week on the Twitter. On the X, if you will. Wow.
This is good shit. How can you, David, how can you sit there and say that this is bad? This is brilliant.
Fucking uncomfortable, to be honest with you. It really does. I hate it. Like, stop airing out your fucking dirty laundry on social media. It's embarrassing.
No, it's not. It's good.
I know you love it. I know.
Do it more.
But don't you, it doesn't give you like, oh, it doesn't make you any, it makes me so anxious. I hate it. It doesn't make you uncomfortable? Or do you like the uncomfortableness of it?
Yeah, that's the appeal.
Is it?
And it's when you can sort of toe that line and make it work for you to work us. I want to be worked. So, and you need stuff like this. You need to have people just losing their minds and going on unhinged rants on Twitter in order to facilitate that. Because if everyone is like so squeaky clean and respectful to all their colleagues, then it's no fun. Where's the fun in that?
Again, you can have these conversations and you can do all this. I don't know. It's just another weird thing in this world that I just like. It's like people who videotape people getting beat up. Like, can you help the person? Help the person instead of filming it. Can you help the person? Nah, of course not. Nah, you got to film it.
Yeah, that's I'm the person who's filming it and egging everyone on.
Right. Here, this is Joel in the background. Oh shit! Oh shit! Oh shit! Fucking hate my feed. And unfortunately, so I watched one. I feel like I'm in court here. I did watch a few, more than a few, but now I'm caught in the algorithm, and now it's like that's all I see are like fights in schools and just nonsense. And it just makes me so uncomfortable. I don't know why I watch it. I don't know. It's like I watch jail
videos.
So
you do like this stuff?
No,
you love it.
I guess I do, because here's the thing. Like, I watch things that make me uncomfortable. I do that. I watch, like, there's like YouTubers that have done time in prison, and they tell prison stories, and I watch those. And like my biggest fear is actually going to prison. Like, if I ever got if I were ever in trouble and I were going to, I would just be like, I would stick my head in a blender and just like, I would just, you know what I mean? There's no way I would go there. There's no way I would do something to just be like, all right, well, that's the end of the story. But then I watch turbulence videos.
Oh my God. I need to see your YouTube algorithm. I want to see what your suggested video page looks like.
All right. I'll bring it up right now. I'll give you a little sample. I'll give you a little sample of what is on Damon's YouTube suggestions. Let's just pop it right on, and I'll just give you like top three things that I have. I have one. I have Vince McMahon and Bruno Sammartino on Larry King Live. I have Oasis concert. I have the flagship, their feed. I have a lot of bass stuff, like tutorials on octaves. I have the friends from Jolly, the best street foods in London. And lastly, I have a Tully Blanchard shoot interview from our good friends at Title Match Wrestling. that's me. And Howard Stern clips, like old Howard Stern clips. Yeah. And Bucky's videos.
I've got some Tekken 2, all unblockable moves.
Okay.
Every Final Fantasy game described by Peep Show. How Michelin chefs cook steak from Blue to Worlds. I cooked a big T-bone steak this evening, Damon. It was delicious. I went with the reverse sear, and it was excellent.
Good job.
The typing of the dead's ultra-fast, tool-assisted speed run. Arsenal's second goal, Declan's second goal, Rice's second free kick, like fan cam footage from the stands. Want to eat ramyun like Koreans? Try these three easy tips. So it's a pretty clear story of the stuff I like watching.
Yeah. Yeah, I scroll down a little bit. I do have a couple jail ones. There are a couple of fights, high school fights. And a lot of bass tutorials. And lastly, I'm trying to give you something interesting. What I do, dude? I have a lot of people who fly on certain airlines, and I know what airline I'm flying on. For a lot of these flights and the business class that I bought, and I want to see like all the things that it has and all the things I can get. Like, I want to see all the reviews. And then I watch driving videos because I'm obsessed with knowing how to get someplace before I go. So I watch videos of people driving from
you're a maniac.
Yep, I am. I'm a fucking lunatic. I watch all this is a dash cam of a guy driving from Citi Field in New York, because I got to go there, and then to JFK. That's all.
Right, so you have to visualize the journey. So it's not so you know the directions. It's, you just want to visualize the journey, so you know
what landmarks. Correct. Yep. What neighborhoods am I going to go? Yep. All that. Yes. Yeah. I'm that maniac. If I had to go somewhere that I've never been before, I will Google map it and I'll do the street view and I'm click, move ahead like half a mile, click, move ahead a half a mile.
Yeah. No, I did that a bit when I was moving back here and got my new job at the school I'm working at now. I did that because that would be a place that I'm going to every day. So that was something I felt was important to visualize. So I'm kind of with you up to a point here.
Yeah. Well, I'm doing it for Buc-ee's. I literally have I have a video from Dallas Fort Worth to the nearest Buc-ee's and how to get there, and there's a video for everything, and there's a video of somebody doing that drive, and I was like, okay, I gotta go here. I gotta make sure I'm in the left lane. Okay, great. I just look for that sign. Okay, yeah, that's my head. That's exactly it. And imagine me getting on a fucking airplane. Oh boy, Oh, boy.
All right, it's terminal 8, and then I got to go here, and I got to go, and there's that where they're checking out. Okay, now I got to.
That's all in my mind as I'm doing it. Yes. Fucking lunatic. Yep. I should be.
Yeah, I have a weird respect for it. I can't dismiss it out of hand. That's why it's like every great heel, there's got to be that grain of truth in what they're saying.
Yeah.
So behind all the just insane stuff you're watching, there's a little kernel there. I'm like, you're mad, but I can kind of see it.
Do you know how
see
many the times, vision. Do you know how many times I've street viewed all around your neighborhood? I swear to God. I'm a maniac. All right, let's move on, shall we?
All right, we have some shows coming up. So tomorrow there's Wrestling Red Zone in Hiroshima in the Sun Plaza Hall. And some of the stand-up matches for that are, we've got a special tag match, Shota Umino teaming with Yuya Uemura against Shingo Takagi and Yota Tsuji. So if you want to see Shingo going into business for himself and giving some receipts to Shota, I'm interested to watch that one because the interactions are a bit spicy now. Mm. We've got a seventh match, special tag match, Taichi teaming with Tomohiro Ishii against Hiromu and Naito. And then main event is the IWGP Tag Team Championship decider match, Bishamon, Yoshihashi and Hiroki Goto versus Great Okan and Callum Newman.
I mean, I can't say I'm doing, you know, I need extra oxygen for these.
Here's what I want. I want Bishamon winning the tag titles. I want Taichi and Ishii winning in the match prior to that. And I want Bishamon versus Taichi and Ishii for the tag titles. Main event at Korakuen Hall. That would go hard.
Yes, all the above. Do you give me a scale of 1 to 10 and that's happening?
Yeah, we're going to get Naito and Hiromu versus Callum Newman and Great Okan this time.
Right, exactly. We know that. So, yeah, I mean, that's kind of like, again, we can do that in our mind a million times to kind of get the things that we think would be the most interesting and the thing that kind of gets us going. I don't know.
Well, I'll tell you what the interesting thing here is. Goto said backstage about Callum Newman, to Callum Newman, I'm not sure why you've got this title match against me.
Well, that's it.
I'm not sure you've got what it takes. I'm not sure you deserve this. So you are going to have to work really fucking hard over the next 2 weeks to show me and show the fans that you deserve that. And I think this is, a lot of eyeballs going to be on this one. To me, this is kind of like a test run. Because there's got to be some juice here. If there's no juice, then we're side-eyeing that Dontaku main event.
I think everybody is, though. Like, is it seriously, do you really think in 2 weeks, or you know, maybe a little bit more, maybe a little less, is going to change anyone's opinion of what we're in for here? And again, I think Callum Newman is a really good pro wrestler, but has a lot left to learn and to be a New Japan Pro Wrestling main event heavyweight title match kind of guy.
And there's about 15 other guys I would rather see getting that shot against Goto.
1,000%.
That's the bit that annoys me. Like, why are we going in so hard on him? What the fuck has Gabe Kidd been doing since that white hot match he had with Yota Tsuji?
The only thing I can say is maybe they're saving it, but I hate when people say they're saving something because you don't know what's going to happen. I mean, knock on wood, but you know, injuries happen in pro wrestling and strange things happen and dumb things happen and you can't necessarily wait too long. That said,
imagine if it was Taichi, Goto versus Taichi.
No, that would be, I know.
Don't tackle main event.
But here's the thing
Return
too.
Return of the Cartwheel Death Match.
I know, we could, I mean, imagine that, a match that was once kind of, we needed something to say, oh, let's make this interesting. And that is something that we would now be like, oh, you don't know what you got till it's gone. I'm not even saying the match is going to be bad, Joel. I think Goto and Newman will be good. I really do. I don't think anybody has any emotional investment in it other than, all right, well, Goto gets another fucking successful title defense. And I hope this will be a good match. But there's no buzz or juice or, if anything, a lot of people are just like, what? Why are we doing this? Because even
that's it, you nailed it. It's that the lack of emotional investment is key here.
Yeah, oh yeah, and especially because it's your title. You know, it's your big boy belt, and you would think that would be the easiest thing to do, but when you do shit like this, and even casual fans are like, why would he? He's done absolutely nothing. You know, well, he won a tag title. Well, whoopity fucking do. You know, like how is this? Why? I don't know. It's one of those weird, quirky New Japan things that I can, that's the best I can give you. But even like the true hardcore fans in Japan, the feedback that we get is, you know, it's kind of like, oh, well, okay. And I think, you know, tickets moving in, you know, these in recent shows for recent shows, a lot of that is A, Goto, and B, they want to see Naito. So I don't know, man. I got to shrug my shoulders. I don't think it's going to be a bad match, but there's no juice whatsoever unless in 2 weeks they do something fucking amazing. But even then, it's not like it's John Cena turning. It's Callum Newman. He's not even in a position, even if you were to do something amazing and to kind of get you fired up for a match. Like, what possibly could he do aside from kidnap Goto's children? Like what could he possibly do?
Monster trucks.
Monster trucks. Let's go. Are you bringing me back to WCW days?
Yeah, I wanted to Callum Newman to come out in a massive monster truck and crush Goto's car.
That'd be awesome. I would love it. Imagine that. Fucking monster. Yeah, it pushes them off the side of a building, of a parking garage.
Yes, now we're talking.
Now we're talking pro wrestling, kids. Now we're talking pro wrestling. Oh, I think I got goosebumps on that one.
Callum, you can have that one for free, mate.
Yeah.
Do it.
Hello. Hi, do you rent monster trucks?
I'm sorry?
Rent monster trucks?
Yes.
Can I get a Hiroshima a monster truck in the Hiroshima Sun Plaza Hall, please?
Right. I'm going to see his Google history. Monster trucks in Hiroshima. Yeah. Rental. Cheap. Oh, Lord. We're nutty. All right.
Who do you think is winning the tag titles then?
I mean, I don't think. I don't know. They're not going to give it to Bushiman, are they?
Bushiman. I don't know, because we're going to end up with a double champion either way, aren't we? Because it's either Goto is a double champion or Great O'Connor is a double champion.
I think they can kind of find a way to make Great O'Connor. I think that would work a little bit better than having your world champion be both. I would say. Because what's the point of that? You know what I mean? Like, what would be the point of that? What's the point of it anyway? Be honest.
What's the point of this? What's the point of us?
Who's O'Conn?
What are we for?
Who's O'Conn's partner? I'm sorry.
Callum Newman. The guy we've been talking about.
I know, but 15 minutes. Okay, and like, why would they? Point, I don't understand why they would. That makes no sense.
Maybe they want him to continue to be a tag champion, but obviously they can't do it with Jeff Cobb as a partner. So it's a way for him to
do what?
Have the belt just with a new partner. Okay. David, I swear we've been thinking about this for longer than anyone, the person booking it has. So
it just, I don't know.
I want Bishamon versus Taichi and Ishii. Please make that happen.
All right.
That's my last word on the matter.
I would love it. All right.
Okay. And then we have Roto wrestling Dontaku in Yamaguchi, but there's nothing interesting on that. Then on Tuesday, it's wrestling Hizen no Kuni in Saga, the Saga Arena. And for the interesting matches at the top of that, sixth match, NJPW World TV Championship match. Oh, it's Great O'Conn versus El Fantasmo again.
It's Dusty and Tully.
Is it going to be good? Is it going to be bad? Who knows?
It's not going to be good. No, I take that back. It'll be good. It won't be great. My poor TV title's going down the shitter, pal. It really is. It's not doing well. It's on life support right now. It's hurting. Give it. We need some juice.
Not zero chance that Okan tries to turn it back into like a bastardized version of KOPW.
I think that's his wet dream. To be honest with you, he would love that. And there's a big part of me that thinks that he would thrive in an environment of short, sprinty matches. But like even those short, sprinty matches that we kind of got accustomed to and loved, that kind of went out the window with Okan a little bit. El Phantasmo, go for it. There you go. Take it. Take the title. And because that'll eliminate the idea of a double champion, right? So if we give Okan the tag titles again, and then he drops then we won't have a double champion problem. There you go. Solved.
But also, as a counterpoint, who cares? Right, our seventh match is the IWGP Junior Tag Championship match. The champions, Ichiban Sweet Boys, Kosei Fujita, and Robbie Eagles defending against the challengers, Master Watto and Yo.
It's different. It's two guys that I am not the biggest fan of, and then I kind of get on board, and then I don't, against arguably one of my favorite junior tag teams in recent memory. And I know I've been saying it in the past couple of shows that I wouldn't be surprised if the tag titles drop here. I would not be surprised if the tag titles drop here. It is a new, fresh kind of team, a fucking team of weirdos, that's for sure. But fresh. I think a title change. I'm going title change.
It's an interesting one. I'm just viewing this with the knowledge that Best of the Super Juniors is around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
And having the junior tag belt, to me, seems to be a sign that you're unlikely to be going deep in Best of the Super Juniors.
Good point. Okay.
I wonder if Watto is a guy who might be earmarked for a bit of a run in Best of the Super Juniors.
That's fair. Could we go the other way? I'm not necessarily saying Robbie Eagles, but maybe somebody else goes deep because they don't have the tag titles.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it could free up Fujita to...
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah. And I don't think anybody's going to complain about that, right? A nice deep run, Best of the Super Juniors. Maybe. So I would say root for a title change. You know, root for them to lose the titles, because then I think we can almost, I don't want to say guarantee, but I think the odds are a little bit more likely to have, a non-tag title holder go deep. If that's what we're thinking, then I'm all for it.
And the main event is the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship match. El Desperado defending against Templario.
I trust El Desperado to have a great match in a main event spot. And there are very few people that you could put in that ring where I would question that decision. And I don't think we have anything near close to where I would need to be concerned. So I think it'll be pretty great. And the idea that we're giving juniors a big spotlight match on a show leading up to a big show, you know, in the middle of late spring. This might be one of those moments where we might want to circle that match, because I got a strange feeling we're going to be talking about that one at the end of the year.
Yeah, it could be one of those matches like Watto and Titan, where you never would have expected it, but then right. They just have this incredible chemistry.
Right.
And to be honest, like for me, Templario is a complete unknown quantity. Like I've seen him in a handful of matches. I couldn't recall any notable singles matches I've seen him in. So I honestly don't know what he's capable of. He might be incredible. So maybe this match is to sort of establish him, and then he is the mystery CMLL entrant in Best of the Super Juniors. So it's a bit of an interesting way to do it, but can't rule that one out. So it just could be like a way of getting him over leading up to Super Juniors. I don't know. It's a really interesting one, and I like the fact that they've gone outside of the box with the junior challenger rather than being like, it's Yo or Show, right, for example. So, yeah, I know we've all been looking at the fact that Templario was announced as a United Empire member, and that being a bit of a punchline, being like, oh, where's Templario in when all this United Empire stuff? I want to know about the group chat where everyone talking shit about Jeff Cobb. Is Templario in that?
Right.
The group is Templario and Great O'Khan and Jacob Austin Young just using Google Translate to insult Jeff Cobb in three different languages.
What is... Never mind. I'm like... All right. I've used up my cunt joke allotment.
I don't see a new champion, though.
I don't either. But I do see, once again, everything that you said is accurate. And I feel the same way, too. But two things. One, I feel like, once again, Despy is a guy that I trust. Like, there are a few guys I trust more, let's put it that way, on that roster. And two, you know, they wouldn't just haphazardly be like, you know what? Never mind. I was like, they're not going to haphazardly give somebody a title match out of the blue that, you know, they feel might not be a dessert. Well, maybe
a few days later. Kendo's listening like, you fucking watch me. I'll do it again.
Right. I have confidence, though. I think people are comfortable with this and with this decision for this match. So I'm expecting to deliver. And once again, my bold prediction. We'll be talking about this come match of the year time.
All right. See you next week.
Oh, that's it. Nice. All right. Go Leafs. Go. Bye.
Hey everybody, my name is Jesse Collings, and I want to tell you all about my show, the Gentleman's Wrestling Podcast, here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. On the Gentleman's Wrestling Podcast, we do a thorough analysis on the biggest issues and trends within the pro wrestling industry. We talk a lot about pro wrestling media, we talk a lot about fan culture and wrestling's place within general pop culture, and we talk about the broader influences that are shaping the way we discuss and analyze the pro wrestling industry. We've had some of the brightest minds in the pro wrestling intelligentsia on the show, including WrestleNomics host Brandon Thurston, both Rich Kreich and Joe Lanza from the Flagship Wrestling Podcast, Trevor Dame from the Through the Years podcast, and a whole lot more. This isn't a show for hot takes. It's not a show recapping the latest episode of television. This is a show focusing on the biggest topics in pro wrestling and doing a deep dive on the real stories behind the surface level analysis you might find elsewhere. The Gentleman's Wrestling Podcast is available wherever you get your podcasts, and we'd really appreciate it if you gave us a try. Thanks.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's FORHERS.com/talk. Tompounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information. 6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through HERS, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, HERS has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's FORHERS.com/talk. Tompounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.